You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I am joined now by the nominee for Vice President of the United States. Pretty crazy to think about. Spike Cohen joins us on the program. Mr. Cohen, how are you, good sir?
I'm doing fantastic, AJ. Thanks for having me on, man.
My pleasure. Give people a little bit of a rundown of who you are, who Dr. Jorgensen is, and the platform that the two of you are running on.
Absolutely. My name is Spike Cohen. I am running for Vice President along with Dr. Joe Jorgensen. And we actually both have very similar backgrounds in tech startup world. I have been owning and starting and growing businesses for over 20 years now. And Joe has a similar background as someone who has been behind, who has owned multiple companies. She also is a senior lecturer on psychology. And we are running on nothing less than setting America free. We have seen, just like you and everyone else that's listening, have seen over the years how Republicans and Democrats have robbed us of our power and of our freedom and, of course, of quite a bit of our money. The cronies who bought and paid for them to be in office. They have robbed us trillions of dollars a year, and they have created rulings and programs that have increasingly made our lives more difficult, radically driven up the cost of living, and just in general have made everything more difficult. And what libertarians believe is that the American people do best when it's free, when we are unencumbered by politicians and cronies and bureaucrats trying to tell us how to live our lives when they themselves often have no idea what they're even talking about, how we do best when we're not being robbed of half of our paycheck, when we aren't having government reduce the value of our currency so that it loses value over time. We do best when we are free. And that's what libertarians propose, taking that power and that freedom and that money that's been stolen from the people and putting it back in the hands of the American people where it always belongs.
One of the things that people often have a hard time with is when you say being stolen from and taxation, and people have this, we've just been, I guess, sort of trained to believe that, well, the government just gets half your money. That's how it's supposed to be. Like, talk about what taxation would look like under a libertarian party.
Well, it would look like something that we read about in history books and look at in museums. Let's be very clear. Taxation is a terrible way to organize a society. Taxation is a means by which government points a gun to your head and tells you how much of your money you're allowed to have and how much of it they're supposed to have. And that, in any arrangement like that, because it's essentially a protection racket, and in any arrangement like that, it's going to necessarily lead to harmful and abusive and inequitable outcomes. AJ, if I can take from you and everyone listening to this whenever I see fit, I don't have to provide you with good value. I don't have to be a good steward of what I've taken because I can simply take more and I can order you around. I don't have to prove that I'm doing good with what I'm taking from you because I can just order you to do it. You're not giving it to me because you want to or because I'm doing a good job with it. You're doing it because you don't want to be harmed. And this is also a regressive thing. It hurts the poor the most, because when people are taxed, even the wealthy and the corporations are taxed, they simply add that as overhead to the cost of the services that they sell to everyone else. So the reality is that taxation is a regressive system of taking from those with the least to give to those with the most, and it simply needs to end. There are plenty of ways that government can voluntarily fund itself and provide value to the American people instead of simply essentially robbing and extorting us at gunpoint.
When in your life did you realize that you were a libertarian, and how did you end up involved with the party? How did you end up as the vice presidential nominee for the party? And I guess sort of a follow-up, what did you identify with politically before you found the Libertarian Party?
I actually started off as a neocon. I was someone who believed that the government needed to be strong and powerful and in order to protect us from the terrorists who hated us for our freedoms, that our military around the world and, you know, invade and bomb and destabilize whatever countries needed to be invaded and bombed in order to be able to protect us and our freedoms. And, you know, when those annoying libertarians would come around and tell me that, you know, that that's nonsense, that government should not be going around just, you know, starting wars around the world, and that, you know, that we are not made free by being, wiretapped without warrants and surveilled upon at every moment of our lives, and that, you know, government was too big and was costing too much and was making our lives difficult. I thought that was absurd. And over time, I realized that it was necessary. It was obviously true. I saw how the wars were not ending the way that the neocons told us that they were. The warmongers promised us that we would be greeted as liberators, and instead the opposite happened. I had been warned that by libertarians that trillions of dollars would be spent, thousands of lives would be lost, that veterans would come home either in flag-draped caskets or with PTSD and other problems and be subjected to, you know, terrible healthcare treatment from government. And that, you know, the freedoms that they were supposed to be fighting for were actually be, you know, it would slowly deplete over time. And that's exactly what I watched happen. As my business grew, I saw what happened when you try to operate a successful small business in this country. Government makes it increasingly difficult for you to be able to thrive and to be able to make money and to be able to create jobs for others as well. I saw how when you're a large crony business and you make bad decisions that are harmful to the economy, the government decides that you're too big to fail and robs the rest of us to keep that business propped up. And it was just basically the confluence of events over time that I saw that made me realize that not only was I not a neocon, but that I really didn't think government should be nearly as involved in our lives as it is. And that brought me to libertarianism. What brought me to being the vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party is that about 3 years ago, I decided to retire from my other business ventures and focus on my newest venture, which is libertarian activism and media. I'm the host of My Fellow Americans and the co-host of Muddy Waters Media. And in doing that, in being a part of that, and in talking to Americans across the country, I saw over and over again how so many Americans had never even heard of libertarianism. They didn't know they had an option to choose from besides the Republicans and Democrats. And when they saw that there was a completely different way of looking at things, they were filled with so much hope. And I saw that the problem was often that we were not necessarily doing the best job of spreading the message of liberty. And I realized that we needed candidates who were running for office, who were good at spreading the message, who could present the message of maximizing human liberty in a way that was not just principled, but also engaging and dynamic and presented in an empathetic way to everyday Americans who are facing some very difficult problems. And that's what Joe and I are doing. We are presenting the liberty message in a way that connects with everyday Americans. And we're about to see the payoff from that on Election Day.
You know, you mentioned the troops overseas, and obviously the foreign policy of libertarians is just to basically not be in these wars. And in 2008, I voted for Obama because he said he was going to get troops out of Afghanistan. And then in 2012, when I realized 4 years later, there were the same amount of troops in Afghanistan as there was in 2008. That's the first time I voted for Gary Johnson. And then I voted for Gary Johnson again in 2016. I mean, everyone tells you, and it's Democrats and Republicans, they tell you that you can't just go bring everybody home because then things will fall apart. How would you, do you reject that logic that if you bring home troops in mass that everything that they've done is just undone and the world is a worse place for it?
No, of course. Yeah, of course I reject that. That's nonsense. You were mentioning how in 2008, Obama said he would bring the troops home. In 2016, Donald Trump said he would bring the troops home. And there are more troops overseas now than there were when Donald Trump got into office. That's what all the warmongers do. That's what both Republican parties do. They promise all sorts of things, including ending the wars and bringing the troops home. And then when it comes time to actually do it, they never actually do, because the military-industrial complex demands that Republican and Democrat politicians keep their gravy train going. And that's really all this is. This is just another form of a boondoggle that makes huge amounts of money for military contractors, energy contractors, central bankers, foreign dictators, drug cartels, government agencies, you name it. There's an entire cottage industry that is built around this endless war. It is just another endless government program and an incredibly harmful one. When we end the wars, we also end the reason that the terrorist groups are even fighting over there to begin with. They're fighting to end the occupation. 9/11 was blowback for the occupation of foreign lands by our military. I mean, imagine if a foreign country occupied the U.S. and routinely bombed us and toppled our leaders whenever they saw fit for decades. How angry would you be? How willing would you be to line up with extremist groups that are willing to are the only ones demonstrating a desire to fight back? And for that matter, If the government were serious about fighting terrorism, why do we keep catching them creating and training and funding and arming terrorist groups if they're so serious about fighting terrorism? It seems like to me a great way to fight terrorism would be to not bankroll them.
Yeah,
you know, when we end the wars overseas and bring the troops home, the healing can begin.
Well, that's always, as a vet, that's always been a priority to me. I'm curious, what is the demographic makeup of your base? Like, what's your average voter look like? Young, old, wealthy, middle class? Who's most receptive to the message that you and Dr. Jorgensen are putting out there?
Well, of course, AJ, we have people across, you know, the age group. Age groups, political spectrum, all across different races and ages and genders and creeds and colors and everything else. I would say the average libertarian voter, quote unquote, tends to be younger than the average voter in general, tends to be more working class or actually maybe slightly below the middle class line when it comes to income, and is just in general people that are the most acutely affected by the system and recognize that this system was not made to benefit us. This system was made to benefit a very small handful of incredibly wealthy people at our direct expense. But, you know, again, there isn't a single age or income level or race or you know, gender or anything else that isn't being represented by, you know, by Libertarian Party membership and voters. But I would definitely say in general, they tend to be a little bit younger than average and a little bit of less means than average as well.
One of the things I've heard often, and like I said, this is the third election cycle in a row that I've voted for a Libertarian, and I keep hearing from Republicans and Democrats that a Libertarian vote is a wasted vote, or a vote for, or it might be a vote for whichever party opposes the beliefs that they have. Like, what do you make of that logic, and do you believe that if you're voting for a party that has not much chance of winning, that it's still a wasted vote?
A wasted vote is voting for the people who created this mess, flat out. Here is the reality, AJ. If we keep voting for the people who make this mess because they're the most likely to win, we are creating that reality. We are taking part in creating a reality where the only people who have any hope of winning are the very people who put us in this disaster that we are in right now and who continue to work together to make it worse. Regarding the whole, oh, if you vote for Joe Jorgensen, then that's really a vote for Trump or it's really a vote for Biden. You'll notice that Republicans never tell Democrats that their vote for Joe Biden is a vote thrown away. You'll notice that Democrats never tell Republicans that a vote for Donald Trump is a vote for Donald Trump. That's nonsense that they say to third-party voters to express their frustration at the fact that people aren't joining them into continuing to vote for the people who put us in the mess that they are in. It's the only response that they have. Republicans cannot debate us on the issues. They cannot defend their own records. All they can do is to try to discourage us from voting for something new. Not just a new party, not just new politicians, but a completely different way of looking at how things should be. Putting the power back in the hands of the American people. It's something that we all intuitively understand. It's something that we teach our own children. We tell them that you shouldn't hurt people. You shouldn't take things from people. You shouldn't try to order people around. We should punish people when they do bad things, and should reward people when they do good things. And yet our government does the opposite of all of that. And when we try to challenge it, they say, oh, you're throwing your vote away. No, throwing your vote away is voting for this status quo when it has harmed so many people.
Spike Cohen, the Libertarian nominee for vice president, joining us here on The Blitz. Get just a couple more questions, Spike. We haven't had a third party on the debate stage since 1992. Why were we able to have that then when Ross Perot was running, but now 28 years later, and really, I mean, every election cycle since, it's only been Republicans and Democrats? And what would have to change for more voices to be heard on the debate stage?
Absolutely. So the short answer is the reason that there hasn't been another third party on the debate stage since Ross Perot is because of what happened when they let Ross Perot on the debate stage. When Ross Perot was allowed on the debate stage, the debates were controlled by the League of Women Voters. And the League of Women Voters criteria for being allowed on the debate stage was that if you had if you were on enough state ballots to be able to win the Electoral College, to be able to effectively win the Electoral College, that was enough to qualify. Ross Perot qualified. If the current criteria that were in place right now to qualify had been in place then, Ross Perot would not have been on the debate stage. Ross Perot went on the debate stage, and up until that point, he was largely considered a bit of a sideshow. He was this kind of short, funny man with a bit of a squeaky voice, and he was a billionaire, kind of an odd, eccentric type. After those debates were over, the American people recognized that the only person up there that made even the least bit of sense was Ross Perot. When all the media narrative was gone, when all of the shutting out was gone, when it was just three men standing on stage vying for the office, it was clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that Ross Perot was the best pick. And in fact, going after those debates on multiple polls, Ross Perot was leading to win the election. He actually dropped out for a few weeks because he never wanted to win it. He just wanted to hurt George Bush. That was why he was running. But so he didn't want to win it, so he dropped out. But if he had actually wanted to win, Ross Perot would have been our next president at that time. The Democrats and Republicans walked away from that so horrified at the thought that a third party could end up winning the election just on the strength of a couple of debate performances that they took over the debate. They took it from the League of Women Voters and they created something called the Commission on Presidential Debates. It is a debate cartel that is run by exclusively by the Republican and Democrat parties. They set ridiculous criteria that all but ensure that no other party is able to get on the debate stage. It's the same thing that they do with ballot access. Every single election, it is harder and harder and harder for third-party candidates to even get on the ballot for you to be able to vote for them in the first place, even though Republicans and Democrats are on there automatically. These are the types of things that Republicans and Democrats do in order to make it difficult for Americans, a nation of 330 people, to be allowed to choose more than two choices for president and for other offices as well. And the answer, the way to fix that, is to break these cartels and to open up the access to the debates, to the ballots and everything else. The ballot should be just as open to third party candidates as it is to the Republicans. There's no reason that they should have a two-tiered double standard system. And then the other thing that needs to happen is for the debates, return to the old criteria. If you qualify, if you're able to be on enough state ballots to be able to actually effectively win the Electoral College, if you won enough of the states, then you should qualify for the debates. That's fair. That makes it so that there aren't hundreds of people on there or some unmanageable number. There would be a few options that Americans could choose from. In this election cycle, it would be four people. The Commission on Presidential Debates claims that that's just far too many people to be able to have in one debate. And yet, during the Republican and Democrat primary process, they routinely have a dozen or more people up there at the same time. So there's simply no reason. They have no good excuse. They just are trying to shut people out, and it needs to end.
All right, last one before we let you go, Mr. Cohen. What do you think it takes to fix, this movement to gain enough traction that it becomes a winnable fight? Like, what is it going to take? More money? Is it a big name running as a third party? Because if it's just people have to be sick of the status quo, it feels like we're already there. So what will it take to really blow this thing up and give a third party a legitimate shot?
There are so many things that need to happen, and we're fighting on every front. Now, every single election cycle, the Libertarian Party does better than it did the one before that, not just in the presidential race, but in the number of Libertarians we get elected up and down the ballot across the country. There are more Libertarians in office now, elected to office now than there ever have been, something like 250 of them, and every election that number goes up. So we are gaining, and it is slow at times, obviously, but we are gaining. As you said, the people are sick and tired of the status quo, to the point where 40-50% of Americans don't even vote in most elections. That is a serious vote of no confidence. And if their vote counted, then none of the above would be winning in a landslide. And the short answer is just that we have to get in front of as many people as possible. The problem isn't our ideas. The problem is that the Republicrats and the crony corporate media and the electoral system that the Republicans and Democrats have created together is doing everything it can to try to shut out the Libertarian Party and other parties as well. And so we need as much support as we can. If you are listening to this and you want to join us, and you want to be a part of the grassroots effort to spread the message of liberty far and wide, I invite you to go to our campaign website, joe20.com. If you want to find out more about the Libertarian Party, I invite you to go to lp.org. To find out more about our party and how you can be a part of it. I invite you to be a part of the growing grassroots army for human liberty. We are fighting for nothing more than a world set free in our time. I believe that our time is now, and with each day we are that much closer to our victory, our goal of being able to get into the White House, get into positions of a power across the country, and to be able to spread the message of liberty and start taking and dismantling these programs and these policies that are leading to such terrible outcomes and putting that power and freedom and money back in the hands of the people where it always belongs.
That's Vice Presidential nominee Spike Cohen. I want to thank you. I want to encourage people to investigate, take a look at these things, see if it's right for you, not only on the presidential level, but locally as well. Billy Pierce, who's running here in Harris County, is the one who put me in contact here with Mr. Cohen. I appreciate you taking the time and getting the word out. I hope my audience enjoyed it, and I wish you guys the best, not only, you know, November 3rd, but also going forward.
Thank you, and I'm sorry, do I have enough time to just talk about Billy for a second?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about Billy Pierce. Billy Pierce, first of all, is a fantastic human being, but also he's a perfect example of what I'm talking about when I talk about libertarians being elected across the country. Billy Pierce is running for tax commissioner of his county in Texas. And what he is running on is a very simple platform, that there should be a moratorium on the increase of taxes in his county, that property taxes are just way too high. They should have never gotten that high to begin with. Government just keeps ratcheting them up, even during a time when Americans have less and less money to be able to pay it in the first place. And so he believes that there should be a moratorium on it, and that we should look at possibly getting rid of property taxes for primary residences, that you should not have to face the possibility of losing your home to the government because you can't afford to pay taxes. This is a perfect example of what happens when we can get libertarians elected into office. They can make real quality changes to our quality of life and make real changes that allow you to be able to be more free, to not have to worry about losing your home, to not have to worry about things like, for people that are running for other offices, worrying for things like your cost of your health care spiraling out of control, the cost of housing and higher education going out of control, and all the various other things that libertarians are running on. It's not just important to vote for Joe Jorgensen and me. It's also important to vote libertarian up and down the ballot on your state ballot, because it's people like Billy and people that are running up and down the ballot that are running to set you free in every lever of power and government in this country.
All right, that is Spike Cohen. I appreciate the time greatly, sir, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
That sounds fantastic. Thank you, Agent.
All right.
Well, if you want to make a difference with your credit card rates, hey, go to Lightstream. You can turn those balances into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate and start saving money. Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. The rate is fixed, so it will never go up over the life of the loan. The application is 100% online. You don't even have to leave your house to apply. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000, and there's absolutely no fees. You can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. That's exactly what they deliver. And your credit card's probably 19% or higher. If you can get 5.95%, you could save hundreds or even thousands. Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Fred for more information. Somebody
ESPN 97.5.